The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Certainly a favorite among the parables of Jesus are tradition and both religious and literary, entitles this parable The Prodigal Son. But if you look in any Bible, and even if you noted the progression of the gospel reading today, if you look in any Bible, it will say as a heading, The Prodigal Son. But it does not say Jesus told them the story of the prodigal son. It simply says Jesus addressed this parable. And our tradition, literary especially, and religious tradition, have referred to it as the prodigal son. But when you consider the son that we refer to as prodigal only takes up the first half of the story. The entire second half of the story is about the older son who stayed. And unlike the first half of the story, That story does not end with a happy ending. It ends, in effect, with a cliffhanger. It ends almost with that eternal image of the father begging that son to come into the banquet feast, and we don't know how the story ends. It could have ended where that older son packs up his belongings the next day and leaves because of the ingratitude of the father, or at least what he considers the ingratitude of the father. We just don't know how that story ends. And leads to the question regarding the title that we've given this parable, which son exactly are we referring to when we say the prodigal son? Now, naturally, of course, we refer to the first one, traditionally, the one who left and came back. That's the one that has the happy ending. But then we go all the way to the beginning of the gospel reading today, and actually the reading actually skips verses 4 to 10 of the passage. Jesus throws in two more parables before he gets into the story of the prodigal son. But it says that the Pharisees objected to Jesus' association and fellowship with tax collectors and sinners. And it says, to them, Jesus addressed this parable. To the ones who objected to Jesus' fellowship with tax collectors and sinners, those are the ones he aimed the parable at. And that perhaps answers the question, which son is the prodigal son? It perhaps is not the first son who left and came back, but it was the one who reflected the people for whom this parable was given. And that perhaps it is the second son, the one who stayed, the one who so deeply objected to the celebration of the wayward son, who is in fact the prodigal son of this story. Because in the end, our focus is not on the first son who left and came back. We have now forgotten him by the time he comes back. The story ends with the other son raising his objections and refusing to come in. And far be it from me to question or rewrite the traditions of literary and biblical scholarship. But these are the ones that Jesus aimed this parable at, the ones who objected, as did the second son, to his welcome of sinners and tax collectors, prostitutes, and other despicable people in society. Because these are the ones that God is calling back. And how did those who never left react to such a thing? Was there a sense of entitlement? We have been here longer. We have not left. We have been faithful. We are entitled to these banquets, these celebrations, and these welcomes. But Jesus turns that conventional wisdom on its head, kind of gives an upside-down view of the world as we understand it now, as he goes on in the two parables that preceded this that are excluded from today's gospel reading. There is more rejoicing over one repentant sinner than over 99 others who have no need to repent. I like to refer to the prodigal son whenever someone has been away from the sacrament of confession for a while, or from someone who's been away from the church for a while. And I often like to say, in terms of the celebration for the one repentant sinner, so congratulations, there's a celebration going on for you right now in heaven, and no one is thinking of me. They're thinking of the one who was lost and is now found. In that scenario, I would be that second son. I'm not necessarily the one refusing to come in, but it's a reminder. They're not thinking of us in the banquet in heaven over one repentant sinner. They're thinking of the repentant sinner and the ones who have been away for a long time. And in deference to the challenge that Jesus gives to those who objected to his fellowship with sinners, during the season of Lent, we might ask ourselves, how might we be that second son who doesn't necessarily object, but be those second children who add to the celebration in heaven? That add to the celebration in heaven. How do we add to the celebration in heaven? By seeking out the lost, by looking for those who are lost, by bringing back those who are alienated from the church, are alienated from their faith, and bringing them back to the celebration of these mysteries that they have been away from, by calling back the sinner and guiding them to a more stronger embracing of the standards of the gospel we're called to live. But that would bring an extra element to the story that Jesus doesn't necessarily bring in, because in many ways it brings in a new character to the parable that Jesus never even mentions. Of course, one interpretation people often like to hear and sometimes would wish the priest would talk about more is not the prodigal son, but the prodigal father, which in a rather tactful way is kind of a dingbat approach to this parable, because in a way, if you're looking at the father who's prodigal, you're basically agreeing with the Pharisees that the father is somehow wrong in celebrating the return of the wayward son. But the character that is not even mentioned anywhere in this, which is actually surprising in our modern feminist world today, is nothing is mentioned about the prodigal mother of the children. Now, I'm not here to go off on some crazy liberal tangent of feminism here, but when you think about it, if we are those instruments that add to the celebration in heaven of those who are lost, if we are those people who go out and seek the lost so that there can be more of a celebration in heaven for the lost who have been found, the dead who have come back to life, then we in fact become that prodigal mother. And if we look at the symbolism of mother and father with regard to our own faith, who is our mother? Not the Blessed Mother, she's a symbol of that mother. But our Holy Mother is the Church. Holy Mother Church, whose symbol is in the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose patron saint is in Saint Joseph. And as Church, we are called by Jesus to seek out the lost. We're not called to be like the Father, standing there waiting for the lost to come back, diligently looking and rejoicing without restraint of their return. But we as Church, who we honor as Holy Mother Church, are commissioned by Christ to go out and seek the lost. In that way, we are not that other prodigal son who refuses to celebrate their return, but we are fulfilling the mission Christ gave the Church, not by sitting and waiting for them to return as the Father looks for the return, but we are actively going out and seeking those prodigal children who are lost and need to be found, who are dead and need to be brought back to life. And in that role, we add that new character to this parable. We add that new element to this parable. Not of a prodigal father, because we're not going to deny his mercy and his joy at seeking at the return of those who are lost. And not identifying with the one who left, unless we are the one who has left and has recently returned. Not identifying with the other son who objects to the celebration of the lost who have been found. But being those children of the Father who seek out the lost, and as such fulfill the role of Holy Mother Church, that prodigal mother who goes out and seek those who are lost. And so, in this season of Lent, and believe it or not, today we celebrate the halfway day. If we had candles like we do in Advent, today would be the pink candle day. If we had the vestments, we would be wearing, well, let's face it, men don't wear pink, okay? Some men wear rose. I like to say, John Wayne, he'd say salmon-colored vestments. Today would be the day of the salmon-colored liturgical vestments. But we're not used to seeing that, because Advent, we have the candles that we at least correspond to. But today is Laudate Sunday, marking that halfway mark toward the end of our celebration of Lent. And now that we've reached this, let us take stock of how this Lent has been, how we have maintained those observances and sacrifices, both individual and communal. But in deference to today's gospel, how have we, over in this past liturgical year, over this so far, this past Lent, considered seeking out those who are lost, those who have been alienated by the Church or are just alienated from the Church, those who feel alienated because of harm that's been done to them, or those who feel alienated because of their own lifestyle that they refuse to give up and that therefore, because of sinfulness, are alienated, but those who have just simply wandered. How can we contribute to that celebration in heaven? Not object to it like one son, but contribute to it by going out and finding the lost. And then we, as that Church that stands with the Father as that mother who seeks out the lost, we too can join in the celebration of those who have dead and who are dead and come back to life, who are lost and have been found. And that we are not in the end prodigal at all, but we make one holy family, that is the church, who rejoices at the seeking out and finding of those who are lost.